During the season of Lent, we are talking about risk. We're looking at different events from the last week of Jesus' life using the book from Amy Jill Levine called Entering the Passion of Jesus. And in particular, we're looking at those events through the eyes or the lens of risk, risk that Jesus or that others took in those. We've talked about lots of different risks, risk of losing friends, risk of losing reputation, risk of judgment, all that kind of stuff. But today we turn to the risk of temptation, the risk of temptation. Now, this story of Jesus in the garden before his arrest occurs in all the Gospels, but it looks differently in the different Gospels. John's Gospel, which we read today, tells a particular version of the story. And then Matthew, Mark, and Luke, also known as the Synoptic Gospels, tell a different version, but their version is similar to one another. And in their version, Jesus goes into the garden and he prays. He prays so fervently, so hard, that he begins to sweat drops of blood. Jesus is in agony over what he is about to face. He knows the suffering that lays before him. He knows the hard road that he's going to walk down, and he prays hard. Let this cup pass from me. If I can get out of this in any kind of way, if I can avoid this pain, if I can avoid this suffering, if I can avoid all this hard stuff, may it be so. But then he has the strength and the courage to pray, but not my will, but your will be done. Not my will, but your will be done. In that version of this story, Jesus is in agony. He's suffering, and he's in a weak and vulnerable position. But in John's gospel, it's a little bit different. In John's gospel, Jesus is full of power. When he speaks those words, I am he, the soldiers, they fall down. Even his words are so powerful. And so we know the strength that Jesus has. We know that he can call upon the angels of heaven to come and defend him and deliver him from all that is to come. Jesus faces that temptation. He could walk away from all of this, right? That's often what happens in other stories. Jesus is surrounded by people who want to arrest him or hurt him, and he just kind of walks away, and he's able to do that. Or he might call upon the angels, these legions of angels, to come and defend him. Jesus could do those things, and so there's this temptation that he must face, this I'm not sure that I would have the strength not to do those things, right? If you have all of that power at your disposal, it would be hard not to use it. And yet Jesus doesn't. He says, not my will, but your will be done. I wonder if even God the Creator is tempted in this. I can imagine God looking upon Jesus with this tender heart, not wanting God's only son to go through all that Jesus will go through, the suffering and the torture, and being tempted to step in and change the path that Jesus is on. And so I think that the Creator even experiences this temptation. And yet both Jesus and God the Creator are able to resist this temptation. They muster up the courage and the strength to face what it is that they must face. They overcome temptation. The disciples, too, face temptation, but they are not able to overcome it. They fall prey to it. They fail. They falter. In the Synoptic Gospels, Jesus invites some of the disciples, Peter, James, and John, to come with him and to pray. And as Jesus prays, the disciples come and they come close to him. But what do? They fall asleep. They fall asleep. In this moment when Jesus needs his friends more than any other time, when he needs their love and support and their care, when he just needs somebody to stand beside him as he's suffering, they can't do it. They're too tired, physically and I imagine emotionally, and they fall asleep. They give in to the temptation of their need for sleep, their own need for rest. Maybe Jesus is asking too much of them. Have you ever had too much asked of you? A weight that you've been called to bear that is just too much. It's too heavy. It's too much of a burden. I've been in those shoes before, so I can relate to these disciples. I can relate to giving in to the temptation of not being there with Jesus when he needs me. In John's gospel, the version that Joe read for us, the story's a little bit different. Jesus has this power, and he speaks, and he says, "I am." Our translation says, "I am he," but actually the Greek word is "I am," ego eimi, which is the, in the Greek translation of the Old Testament, it's the name for God. And so Jesus is speaking the name of God here, and it's so powerful that the soldiers fall over. And Peter, again, is the one who is tempted. And Peter gives in to the temptation. The temptation here is to meet violence with violence. The soldiers are coming to arrest Jesus, to force him away, to do all these terrible things, to torture him. And so Peter's instinct, his response is to fight back. And so he draws his sword and he strikes the slave of the high priest, a man named Malchus. Never quite understood how he chops his ear off. That seems like a hard thing to do, but that's what happens. He strikes the man with the sword and cuts his ear off. And Jesus says, "No. No, put your sword away. Put your sword back in its sheath." Peter is tempted to meet violence with violence, and he gives in to that temptation. I'm a little bit like Peter, too. Sometimes I get tempted to meet violence with violence. Whatever is coming at me, to come back at it with just the same or even stronger. And yet Jesus invites us into a different way. Jesus invites us into non-violence. This past week, on Thursday, marked the 51st anniversary of the assassination of Martin Luther King Jr., a man who was known for nonviolent resistance, who, along with many others, helped to lead a movement in our nation to seek justice, to seek equal rights for all people. And much progress was made, and much more needs to be made even today. But he became known for advocating nonviolence. And his stance on nonviolence, his practice of nonviolence, was inspired by that of Jesus Christ. We know Jesus to be a man of nonviolence. We see it here in this story where he tells Peter to put his sword away. We see it when he teaches to turn the other cheek when someone strikes you. To do something in response, but not violence. The quote up here is a famous one from Martin Luther King Jr. It says, "Darkness cannot drive out darkness. Only light can do that. And hate cannot drive out hate. Only love can do that." I think we can add to that, violence cannot drive out violence. Only nonviolence can do that. Violence, I don't think, ever changed anyone's heart or mind about anything. But nonviolence, it has that power. It has that power to convict and to change and to transform people. It has the power to make us face the violence that we are perpetrating and to change, to see it for what it is and to be convicted that something needs to be different. We live in a world that is characterized by violence. Individuals against individuals, small groups against small groups, nations against nations. Our world is full of violence, and not just physical violence, although that's certainly part of it. There's social violence and emotional violence and economic violence, military violence, and all kinds of different ways that we use power to hurt and to control other people. That's what violence is about. Using the power that we possess to impose our will on someone else. And it happens all the time in our world. It happens on the small level. It happens on the macro level. It happens in ways that are clear and obvious and overt. And it happens in ways that are hard to even notice. Ways that are covert or obscured. But the way of the world is violence. The way of the world is to use the power that we have to impose our will on others. Friends, each and every one of us is guilty of violence. Each and every one of us uses the power that we have to get our way. Sometimes it's physical, but often it's manipulative somehow. Often it's emotional, or just the position or status that we have. How many of you have ever pushed someone else's opinion to the side and spoken over them? That is an act of violence. How many of you have ever used the money or other resources you have to get your way in a particular situation? That is an act of violence. How many of you have ever worked kind of behind the scenes to get people on your side in a particular debate or situation? That is an act of violence. But Jesus offers us a different way. Jesus offers us the way of non-violence. For you see, when Jesus is faced with violence, he could strike back in violence himself. He could have those disciples pull out their swords. He could call on those angels to come, but he doesn't. He allows himself to be arrested. He allows himself to be convicted. He allows himself to be tortured. He allows himself to be killed. And as he does, his act of nonviolence condemns the violence of this world. Jesus is indicted and convicted. But as he is, his nonviolence is an indictment of the whole system of violence in our world. And it should convict us that violence is not the way. Lent is a time to reflect on Jesus. As we remembered Martin Luther King's assassination this week, Lent, and especially as we approach Holy Week, is a time to remember Jesus' assassination. To remember his standing firm in nonviolence and how it condemns the violence of this world and calls us to something different. And so this week, as we continue in Lent, as we continue in a season of self-reflection and of repentance, I invite us to look at our own lives and ask ourselves, when do we give in to the temptation of violence? When do we use what we have to get our way? When do we use our position or our power to silence others? When are we violent? And how can we change? We all face that temptation. Probably more days than we'd care to admit. We face the temptation to use what we have to get power and control and to get our way. But Jesus reminds us that though that might be the way of the world, that is not the way of the cross. It is not the way of love. And so while the disciples gave in to their temptation to fall asleep and their temptation to meet violence with violence, Jesus doesn't give in to him to his temptation. And he offers us grace and strength and love and courage to be able to stand firm as well, to not give in to the temptation to meet violence with violence. And so as we examine ourselves, as we encounter situations this week and in the weeks and months and years to come. May God grant us grace and strength and courage. May we meet violence not with violence, but with love. Amen.